But we'll be going through the next of the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5:22. We'll start by reading Galatians 5:22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Remember that last time we talked about just the first of those, the fruit of the Spirit is love. But of course it starts with the fruit of the Spirit. As I accidentally mentioned, the Beatitudes always start with, of course, blessed are. We spend a lot of time studying that every single Beatitude. It always starts with, it is a blessing that comes from the Lord. It has an originator. It has someone who gives it. And here we don't just get a list of things that you'll be about or that, you know, if you level up and get to a certain point, you're going to finally have all these things. It starts with the fruit of the Spirit. These are things that the Spirit brings about. These are not things that are brought about otherwise. But the fruit of the Spirit is. So you are not going to be marked by or be of any beatitude if you aren't blessed with it by the blesser. And you are not going to be marked by or bear any of the fruit listed in these verses here if you are not given it of the Spirit. As we said last time, this is consistent with common sense. Apple trees don't bear figs. The fruit that is born is consistent with the type of tree that it is, and the Spirit bears a specific type of fruit, and only the Spirit. But there is much more to it. We talked about all three members of the Trinity playing a part in this. It's not solely that, oh, well, this is an activity of the Spirit that's separate from, you know, the activities of God or of Christ. But we looked at John 15, we saw that the master harvester and pruner is God. We saw that Jesus is the vine and the source of the fruit. We saw that the Holy Spirit is the manifester of the fruit, or the fruit of the Spirit that he brings about within us. But without the Trinity, you will not bear fruit. Jesus talks about that in John 15. He says, he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing apart from the Lord. You cannot bear spiritual fruit without God's Holy Spirit. We also talk about the standard of good and how and what that looks like. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So there is a standard for a good deed. It isn't just merely, oh, I did this good thing. Oh, I did this thing that I think was righteous, or I did this thing that was nice, or I did this thing that, you know, so-and-so appreciated and it made me feel really warm and fuzzy. It's not merely anything like that. It isn't merely what I was supposed to do, or I didn't do what I was supposed to do. It's about motivation. It's about motivation. Do all to the glory of God. There's a reason behind it. That elevates that whole standard of doing good. That elevates it to the standard of God, which is a lofty standard indeed. The only fruit that can be brought about by God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit in truly bringing about a good deed. Then we finally got to the first of those fruits of the Spirit, and we looked at love. We talked extensively about John, 1 John 4:17-18. We looked at kind of sections of verses 8 and 16, that God is love. So the is there is functioning almost as an equal sign. We know 2 + 2 is, or 2 + 2 = 4. Well, God is love, or God equals love. but that alone, that alone is the ultimate standard for any concept of love. Sorry about that. So we looked at verses 7 and 8 a little more in depth also. We saw that God is the source of that love. Verse 9, Jesus is revealed to be the vine supplying it to all of the branches. Verses 10 through 12, that we should take the love God showed us in Christ and love others with the same. So it's propelling us towards something. God isn't just, you know, putting his love in us, giving us his love, giving us full access to him as he is love, and then just saying, okay, cool, just hang out, enjoy it. That is true. We do get to hang out. We do get to enjoy it. We do get to rest in him, but we're also called to action, and that is by loving others in the love that he has shown in us, or that he has brought about in us. And doing so is how love is perfected in us. Verses 13 through 16, we saw that there was a litmus test, and this is something that connects directly to this because it has to do with the Spirit. It says, he has given us his Spirit. So we have the fruit detailed, or we can have the fruit as the Spirit decides and gifts that we see in Galatians 5. This gives us confidence in judgment, and that's where it ultimately wraps up. So it kind of starts to look at this eternal component, not just the here and now, not just what we have on earth, not just what we're called to give to others on earth, but this ultimate that we stand free of fear in ultimate judgment. We posed a question concerning these verses. It was a pretty long, pretty detailed question, but it kind of pulled in all these different pieces. It was, how can somebody do something good, do something righteous, if they don't know the one who is the source of goodness and righteousness? How can they do something loving, or how can they be of love? How can they show love? How can they truly give others love if they don't know the one who is love, as the word says? They cannot. They don't have any access to the source, the supply, or the bearer of love. That is a standard that elevates love to a whole another plane. It elevates it beyond just this is the right thing to do. Like, you know, silly examples like helping your landlady with her groceries or things like that, that sometimes the world, you know, thinks is like, oh, I did a good thing. Or, hey, I didn't do a bad thing. I didn't kill anybody. I told a simple kind of silly story or analogy of just replacing a kitchen faucet, which I had the wonderful joy of doing shortly before that, the last devotion. And when I got the faucet in place, I hadn't done anything underneath, because the very first thing you do is you mount the faucet on top of, you know, on top of the counter. And it looks great. It looked way better than the old one. You know, it didn't have any leaks, but that was because there was no water going through it yet. So, you know, but ultimately, it was really just a really big paperweight at that point. It had no source. It had no water going through it. It had nothing. So really, it was just a useless vessel. It looks good on the outside, but it really wasn't of much use. And I think you probably know where I'm going with that, or might even remember that analogy to say that's what we see oftentimes in people of the world who don't know God. They don't know the source of love, and yet they think that they're acting in the most loving way. In fact, that's one of the ways that we're often called hypocrites, or called, you know, attempts to condemn us by the world. You know, you don't even know what love is. You're just judgmental. You know, all the labels that they like to put on us, and all the, you know, all the things that are not of God that they think that we're supposed to be about. It's not a standard that God has given us in his perfect love. But today we move on to the second of the fruit of the Spirit. And that is, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. As we'll always remember, as we did just all the way through the Beatitudes as well, let's always remember we're talking about the fruit of God's Spirit. So if there is no Spirit, there is no fruit. And today we see that if there is no Spirit, then there is no joy. God's Spirit bears the fruit of joy in his people. The Greek word for joy means the awareness of God's grace and favor, or grace recognized. Thought those were kind of interesting definitions for the way that it's commonly translated. But it says that it is the awareness or grace recognized. So remember that our first beatitude was blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So God blessed his people with understanding and insight into their poor spiritual state apart from him. And that's exactly what we see with the concept of joy. It's God blessing his people with, and here is God gives us awareness and gives us the ability to understand grace and favor. So we have no ability to enjoy the kind of joy that we see here in these fruits of the Spirit if we don't have God including us in, if we don't have God doing this for us and bringing us this about through the power of his Spirit. Thankful to yesterday get to go over to my in-law's house and visit for a while. Mr. Mark and I were talking about this, just what's your next devotion? And I said, I think we're going to move on to the next, fruit of the Spirit, you know, looking at joy. And he said, well, what was the first thing he said? Well, joy doesn't mean happiness. It's like, that's exactly right, because how many people and how many times do people confuse those two terms? Joy does not equal happiness. Happiness at its best is like a happy-go-lucky fellow. He's driven by personal outlook and the way he views life. That's at its best. At its worst, it's driven by temporary circumstances, like, hey, the favorable weather today is really impacting my mood. I feel really good because it's not as hot as it was, you know, yesterday or what have you. We can't really say that too often here in Louisiana right now. But how about barely catching your flights? You know, you're running late and you feel like you're really lucky. You know, you're really happy about that. That's not joy. That's a totally different concept. Happiness of longest duration takes the form of some sort of disposition or mindset, something that you might feel like, oh, he's a happy guy. He always has been, as long as I've known him. He's like 80 now. You know, it's like, well, cool. He was happy his whole life. You know, as wonderful as that is, that's still not joy. The shortest can also be, could be complete opposite of that. It could be a temporary attitude or a short-lived mood. Something worked out for you, you know, and therefore you have this short-lived little happiness until the next thing doesn't work out for you. So happiness is very fickle. Happiness comes and goes. Happiness is not always consistent. It can last for a really long time, but one distinct difference is it isn't eternal. Joy is completely different. Joy is not a personal disposition, even one that's just simply carried out throughout this life. It's not a temporary outlook because things are going favorably. It's not just because, oh, something you cared about worked out or you even had some lucky feeling. It is eternally minded fruits that God's Holy Spirit is yielding in the life of God's people. Again, no relationship with God through His Son and empowered by His Holy Spirit, then no joy, regardless of how happy you may be or how well things may be going or temporary circumstances may be treating you. The first time that this word joy is used, I think it's about 30 times throughout the New Testament, first time that it is used, it's actually in Luke 1. Put that here on the screen. Basically, we have Zechariah performing his priestly service, and an angel of the Lord appears to him. And we'll go ahead and pick up here in verse 12. So Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make people, make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So you will have joy there in verse 14. Somebody might argue, oh, I don't know. I mean, you know, that kind of sounds like happiness over having a son, right? I mean, I waited until I was 45 to have a daughter. So, you know, I can understand somebody making that mistake or confusing those two. But it isn't, oh, well, the weather held out for our barbecue or cool, I don't have to wait around the airport for 7 hours. It isn't something temporary or fleeting or even something that's going to just merely last the rest of his life. It says he will be great in the sight of the Lord. That already puts it on a completely different plane than just mere happiness. How does it do that? It says he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the same Spirit who alone can bear the fruit of joy that we're looking at today in Galatians 5. So when will he do this? It isn't, oh, we're going to wait till he's 30 to do this. Oh, we're going to wait till he's 60 to do this. John didn't even live that long of a life before he was murdered. It says, while still in his mother's womb, before he even emerges. So there is nothing about circumstance that an infant in his mother's womb is going, oh, this makes him joyous. Oh, this is temporary circumstance. Oh, this is even the life I'm going to lead. I don't have any concept of any of that. And yet the Spirit is working even before birth in this situation. It says he will turn many sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. We know that John was mightily used to bring many of God's chosen people back to him. That's something only God can do. Again, that's not temporary or a mindset. That's joy and eternal life being born by God's Spirit for God's glory. We also see that John is a forerunner of Christ. He was used to set the stage for Jesus' earthly ministry, even to the point of baptizing Jesus. He was also used to turn back the hearts of fathers back to their children, the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And here we are, 2,000 years later, after his death, still talking about him. That sounds very different from, oh, well, the weather was nice today, doesn't it? All of this is eternally minded. It's not temporary here and now. It's not easy. It's not preferable. And it's not even fun because we know that John's life was not really marked by most of those things. All of it is laser focused on God's glory, not ease of life or just being upbeat. All of this is brought about by the Holy Spirit caused many to rejoice and praise God over his birth. That's another point that we're going to look at a little bit here. See, in verse 14, it says, you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Wasn't solely about the birth of a child. It was, as wonderful as that is, it was the Spirit bringing eternal hope and joy to wonderful circumstances that led to many praising God throughout all of eternity. That is actually what we saw 4 years ago in a different devotion. This was early on in the days when I was part of the team that does devotions here. We looked at Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verse 1 says, come, let's sing for joy to the Lord. Let's shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Because as we said, joyfulness is returning to God what is his. Isn't that a definition of praise of the Lord? Just returning unto God what is his. Piper said it this way, we get the mercy, God gets the glory. We get the joy, God gets the praise. So the Holy Spirit lavishes the fruit of joy upon us to the praise of God. In that same devotion, we also looked at Psalm 16:11. It says, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hands there are pleasures forever. You will make known to me the path of life. This is consistent with the blessed of the Beatitudes and with the fruit of the Spirit, because God makes known the path of life. God is the blesser of the Beatitudes. God's Holy Spirit is the giver of the fruit of his Spirit. No other and nothing else can do any of this. It says, Psalm 16:11 says also, in your presence is fullness of joy. This is one that even stumps a wordy chump like me, because it's like, how can I possibly fathom that, let alone add anything to what that scripture even says? Because I can't even begin to comprehend it, nor can I even begin to understand the forever pleasures in his right hand that we'll be enjoying throughout all of eternity, as Psalm 16:11 describes. That's because it's beyond my experience, it's beyond my knowledge, it's beyond my capacity so far, apart from the Lord showing me and giving me glimpses of it. Because again, it's imperative that he makes known, that he blesses, that he gives the fruits, that he gives the fullness of joy. But not only that, he also gives pleasures forevermore. So again, we still see with joy, we see this eternal component to it, that it lasts throughout all of eternity. He moves us beyond the temporary here and now to contemplate and desire the eternal life and his eternal glory. And that's what we see in the birth and the ministry of John the Baptist in Luke 1. He also moves us from chasing temporary, fleeting, hedonistic happiness, just in the here and now, just thinking about what's right in front of us, or what could be right in front of us, if only we won that billion-dollar lottery this week, or whatever thing is, you know, enticing us. All of that should prompt us to praise. With that, there's actually a hymn that comes to mind. Some of you may already have it in mind as we're talking about this. It's number 38 in the red. If you want to follow along, just kind of think through this. I would really love it if we had the opportunity to sing this today, because this is, if what we're studying today on joy were put to a hymn, I think this is a lot of what it would sound like. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Notice even in the title and in the first few words of it, it says, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. So we're joyful. Why are we joyful? We just talked about it. That God gave us that. God blessed us with that. And what does that do? It immediately turns us in his direction. It turns us to, we adore thee, we praise thee. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. What was the first of our fruits of the Spirit? It was that God, that the Spirit blesses with love. So, God of glory, the Lord of love, just like we saw in 1 John, that God is love. Second stanza, hearts unfold like flowers before thee, hail thee as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness. There we have an eternal component that we've been talking about. Fill us with the light of day. Second verse. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. All thy works. All of the earth is praising the Lord. This scripture says that as well, like Psalm 66. Stars and angels sing around me, center of unbroken praise. That is what our lives are. That's what our lives are to be. lived with joy, of unfettered, unending, complete, all out, completely sold out praise unto God. Field and forest, vale and mountain, blossoming meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, do what? They all call us to rejoice in thee. Those are all prompts that are calling us to rejoice in God. Great joy that he's given us. Verse 3 describes more of that. Thou art giving and forgiving. He gives us the joy. He also forgives us for the moments of our weakness, of our sin. Ever blessing, ever blessed. There is no cease to it. There is no end to it. We are always blessed. We are always receiving his blessing. The wellspring of the joy of living. Ocean depth of happy rest. We even have the happiness that we talked about there because we have a happiness, but we have an eternal happy and joyful rest as well. Thou the Father, Christ our brother, all who live and love are thine. There's so much incredible things to just that one line right there. Thou the Father, we have God the Father brought into this. Christ our brother, the only way that we have any kind of relationship with God and call him our Father. All who live in love are thine. Again, the first of the fruits of the Spirit, all who live in that are God's. Teach us how to love each other. Again, we talked about how that love that God gives us in the fruit of the Spirit, it causes us to move to action. It causes us to love one another, just like this verse talks about. Lift us to the joy divine. Again, not the temporary happiness, the joy divine, the eternal, the godly joy. Last verse, mortals. So, people, humans, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. They were already doing it before we woke up this morning. Stars were already praising him. Father love is reigning over us. Brother love binds man to man. The brother love that we gain from the Father. Father love, the very first part of that stanza. Again, the first of the fruits of the Spirit. God is love. Father love is reigning over us. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music lifts us sunward in the triumph song of life. Joyful music, the joy of our hearts, the joy that came from him and from his hands. That is the fruit of the Spirit. So, fruit of the Spirit is love and is joy. Let's go ahead and take a few minutes to pray. We're a little pressed for time, but pray as you feel led. And I'll ask Justin, would you mind closing us and everyone's had a chance? I'll go ahead and open us. Thank you, Lord, for the glorious fruit of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Your Spirit who dwells within us, who bonds us as brothers and sisters in Christ throughout all the ages, Lord. Even John, who lived 2,000 years ago, Lord, our brother in Christ, joyful from before he even emerged from the womb, Lord, joy and rejoicing all around his birth, but also around his life, that even all these years later that we can celebrate him and thank you for the glorious testimony that he brought about, Lord. And we're encouraged by that, Lord, that we have joy in our hearts because of all the things that you've done, Lord, because of the power and the work of your Spirit. We praise you, Lord, that you do not just rescue us from our sins as if that is anything less than extraordinary, Lord, but that you do give us your Spirit, that you give us brothers and sisters in Christ to be bonded together with, to meet together with, Lord, that this fruit of your Spirit, Lord, is being borne out in our lives, and that, Lord, it all prompts us to return praise unto you, Lord. Thank you for the gathering of the saints again today, Lord. We pray for Mr. Mark as he preaches today, Lord. We pray that your word would minister to him even now, Lord, would convict him, would encourage him, would prick his heart. If there's any other truths that you would have for us, Lord, that may not even have come up in his studies yet, Lord, even now you would bring those to his mind, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to know you, to love you, to be loved by you, Lord, to have the joy of your Spirit. Blessings.
Father, we come in your presence with thanksgiving and praise. when you say Lord, design, everything done with the works of Christ, his ministry, his death and burial, and resurrection, and now his intercession for him. And he hears us one day. He answers our prayers. He fills us with joy on this side over him. That we're able to be here today and worship you in spirit and in truth with other brethren, knowing that one day we'll die on this side of the Lord, but that we have this time in it as fade as grass, knowing the weakness of our flesh, you still want to take our minds and put it in. Activate our minds to just heavenly thoughts of who you are, what you've done for us, or with so on because we appreciate it. We know it. We still give to us to deal with it. The great love that you've had for us. That while we were sinners, you did all of this, Lord. While we were in enmity with you, enemies, our hearts dark and black, he came and rescued us, and he put your name on our lips with his shout of joy, and give you thanks and praise and all these things. Thank you for your word, Lord, as a word of praise. We pray that you would visit us this morning with your spirit, make these things real for us, that we would walk in. Thank you again for this time and for your brethren, for your word, your spirit. Lord, we do adore you. We give you thanks for giving us joy in these things. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.